As always, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The Mission Morse summer event is on now at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right there on Causeway Boulevard. You can start at the website edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. They're on a mission to sell 3,000 vehicles in 60 days with the guaranteed lowest prices, all backed by Morse with their price protection promise. Full details are at edmorse.com/promise. And Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, we have been out there. Ira has been out there. Wonderful certified pre-owned Cadillac selection. So much more. edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, the Mission Morse summer event continues. Don't miss new 2018 ATS sedans, only $339, zero down, or get 0% financing 60 months, plus $2,000 down payment assistance on all new 2018s. So hurry to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit edmorsecadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. We are so pleased to always give our support to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, more than 70-plus years of Ed Morse quality and service across Florida. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, and here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thursday. 1 week, 7 days from training camp, the first practice. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the Sage, the great Sage of Tampa Bay sports. Mr. Ira Kaufman, 40 years covering the NFL, future Ring of Honor member himself, Ira. Great to see you. I'm Steve Isbitz, Joe Bucks fan. Lee DeCamper is here. We are fired up. It's the middle of the summer. Ira, you are looking great. And how are you today?
Beautiful, Steve. Thank you for that introduction. I could smell the grass at One Buck Place. And I don't mean that kind of grass. I mean the natural grass at One Buck Place. Won't be long. Lee, we'll be out there. Lee, don't forget your hat, your sunglasses, your towel, your drink. We're going to make sure you're in good shape.
Well, since there's no more covered seating, I will be even wearing gloves.
Come on. What color gloves?
Camouflage.
White gloves? Nope. Like the Queen of the Queen Elizabeth over there?
Camouflage.
Steve, I can't even imagine DeCamper with gloves
on. Queen Elizabeth. you know what? Maybe they have those chairs with the built-in umbrellas over. I saw a couple of people with them at the OTAs when they have.
Yeah, I need one the size of a pavilion.
I wonder if they're going to let people put up little tents. I was thinking about that. I wonder.
Now you might be blocking somebody else's view. You never know. Yeah. You never know.
Who knows? Who knows? But training camp is here. Free tickets are available at Buccaneers.com. The links are there. Get your tickets August 4th, Saturday, August 4th. That is the training camp takeover. Wild day of treating a training camp practice like we did last year, which means like a playoff game. Now, I know Bucks fans don't really know what that is, but, you watch other teams do it. It's a good time. Training camp takeover. Unbelievable. Now, we're going to hit right on a topic, Ira. Right on a topic, because Lee's on shorter time today. And I put a poll up on this, and Lee's been pretty strong on it, and the fans weighed in strongly. And it's a fun discussion, especially for this time of year.
And you always get a lot of responses, don't you?
Always. It doesn't matter.
Thousands.
And I always keep the polls to 24 hours just to piss off the other media types who, spend a week to get 800 votes. We cut it off at 24 hours.
Very nice, Steven.
And that's how that goes. All right. So, a little insight into my twisted mentality. All right. Lee has written a few times that Mike Evans is the best receiver in Buccaneers history. Best wide receiver in Buccaneers history. And, I read Lee write that. And a few times I've read it, I'm like, well, I don't disagree, but I don't know. It makes me feel a little uneasy. I feel a little nervous when I read that because I'm not really sure. And
You feel that because you feel Evans hasn't even hit his prime yet, and so why are you anointing him?
No, I feel...
The bar's not very high here,
no,
Steven.
I feel...
Let's
remember
that.
Don't tell me how I feel. I feel that if I'm picking one game... Is he my guy? I lean toward Keyshawn. I lean toward Joey Galloway with what they could do with one game. So I put it out to the people, Ira.
Who says this is a one-game thing? Well, the poll doesn't say that.
It's a vague thing. Best Bucks receiver, right? So I put it
you
out.
You do vague very well.
I put it out to the people. I put it out to the people. Who is the best receiver in Bucks history?
Mike Evans.
56% voted Mike Evans.
I think DeCamper's right. Why are you slapping Lee around?
I'm not slapping anybody.
First of all, the bar's not high. Keyshawn was better with the Jets than he was with the Bucks. He was a good player with the Bucks. He was very good with the Jets. Galloway had about two or three straight years, especially one where I remember, and I got to give Galloway credit. Everybody remembered him as a guy, you know, go pattern, go, go, go. But I remember one year, it was either, might have been 07, the playoff year, where Galloway caught a lot of balls over the middle. On third and seven, he would catch a nine-yard pass. He showed a lot of guts that year, Galloway. He showed me a lot.
Him and Ike Hilliard were good for that.
But Evans, although I'm going to be the first to say, I expect a better year out of Evans than he had last year. I don't think he was as good as he was in 2016. I think his play dropped off. Now, he bounced back from 2015 when he dropped a lot of balls, and he worked on it hard. And 2016, I thought he was outstanding. You got to get more than five touchdowns out of Mike Evans, Lee. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and I'm not blaming that all on little Jameis Winston. I'm not.
Well, you know, what Steve was saying, I don't disagree with. You know, when I started writing those things, you know, about Evans, the best receiver, I thought about Keyshawn. He was productive, reliable. Galloway, I thought of. I even thought of Ike Hilliard.
Kevin House had some good years.
Yeah, House years ago. But when a guy like Evans is one of, what, four or five guys in the history of the NFL to get 1,000 yards his first 4 years, and then when you, like you said, you factor in the bar for the Bucs is low, it's hard to suggest Evans is not the best receiver.
Now, Lee, to be fair, 1,000 yards used to be a heck of a bar about 20 years ago, and now everybody and their grandmother does it, almost, to
a
point.
Yeah, but again, Evans, like, one of four receivers.
I understand.
So what you're saying, it adds up. But if that was really correct, and I'm not saying you're incorrect, because, you know, passing yards has gone up so much last four or five years, there should be more than just Mike Evans, Randy Moss, and a couple other guys. There should be five or six more.
I think
brothers.
Evans' best years are ahead of him, Steve, and he's already had a very nice NFL career.
Because some fans got mad at me when I was replying to Bucks fans. I might even wrote this on a story. A lot of people think this wide receiver from Houston is so great.
Oh, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, and he's not
he's
bad.
He's very good. Yeah, he's
and I actually
good.
Got into it with some people, some Bucks fans. Turner, is it Turner? I can't. We're the Saints. He's been in the league a couple years.
Michael Thomas?
Yes, he's very good.
Very good.
He's very good. I'd still pick Evans. And people are like, oh, why would you do that? Body of work.
Hopkins is very good, Steven. You got to remember, except for about six games when he had Watson throwing to him last year, he's had a lot of lousy quarterbacks throwing to him in Houston.
Well, you could also, when you use the term best Bucks receiver, you sort of teed me up there without knowing it, Ira.
I look at his career. That's how
okay,
I
don't know. I mean, it's a fun debate. It's a fun debate. Those guys, Galloway with the Bucks. He didn't have who was throwing to him. You know, and
Matt
Garcia was a good quarterback. Last couple, if you're talking 07, 08,
07, yeah.
I think he did.
But Galloway had his best years here, 05, 06.
05 was Sims. 05 was Sims.
But that leads to the best Bucs quarterback in history. Lee believes it's Jameis. Who's the best quarterback in Bucs history, Ira?
Well, at first glance, you'd say Brad Johnson.
Yeah. I would say Jameis because of the numbers, but number two would be Brad Johnson easily.
You know why? Because in that postseason, the whole postseason. He was outstanding.
Yes.
The whole post, starting with the San Francisco game, played very well against the Eagles and, you know, lights out against the Raiders.
And obviously he has jewelry.
Yeah, I'd probably say Brad Johnson. Again, the bar's not very high.
I'm asking you.
You know.
I don't know.
Testaverde went on and had a heck of a career, but not in Tampa.
Yeah, I thought you were going to jump down Steve's neck. And
you know, Doug Williams wins the Super Bowl, but not in Tampa. Steve Young, not in Tampa.
Here's one that freaks people out when I say this. I think because, you know, Sean King was so outspoken, he was rich with comments that we would use on JoeBucksFan.com, and it would just drive some of our readers bananas. Oh, my God, Sean King. Sean King had better numbers than Doug Williams. Don't yell at me. Go to Pro Football Reference and look for yourselves. He had better numbers than Doug Williams as a Bucks quarterback.
But the players swear by Doug Williams that he was a great leader, good fourth quarter guy.
Got the shaft by
and
a
tough.
Owner.
Very, very tough.
Yes, he was.
Very, very tough.
A different era, too, as far as the way they threw the football and all that sort of stuff.
I think you'd say Brad Johnson. I think you would say Brad
Different
Johnson.
Era, but look at the mentality of the head coach you had and the offensive coordinator. They run. So that really wasn't a whole lot different than McKay. Run.
You know, on the quarterback question, guys, you know, this is probably the best way to put it. We're talking about where the bar is. No quarterback drafted by the Bucs ever got a lucrative second contract with the Bucs. That's all you got to say. That says it all, Steve.
Joey Johnson did that with me once. I said that to him. He goes, no, Brad Johnson.
Good vibes out to Joey Johnson on this podcast.
Yeah, it's awful about his son.
Yeah.
just to round it out, Ira, Vincent Jackson was on that list and
got
a little bit more votes than Mark Carrier. Kevin House came in last in the poll. And all right,
I like Vincent Jackson's yards per catch, Lee. Very, very good. And that's something, Lee, I'm starting to wonder whether Evans is ever going to get there in yards per catch. It just, you know, he might just be a 13-yard guy. He's not going to be he's not a 17-yard guy, and that's okay. That's okay.
How much did that hurt Jameis' development when Jackson blew out his knee and his career was done?
I think it hurt.
Yeah.
I think it hurt before they have this influx of talent. Right now, I would argue, and I've said it, and I'll stand by it. This is the deepest quality targets in the National Football League. I believe that's right.
Well, you know
when
what?
When you factor in the two tight ends. And I think it is.
Fortunately, I'm pressed for time, but Peter King had an item Monday morning. You know, he's with NBC now, his first column for NBC. Godwin's got numbers that are right up there with Julio Jones.
And he averaged 15 yards, Godwin. That's a heck of a number.
And that's a guy who he admits it took him a while to get used to the NFL, both health-wise and the obvious reasons, you know, the playing up against that kind of talent as opposed to children in college.
They got a lot of targets, Steve. All I got to do is protect the quarterback and let him have some time.
It's unprecedented. Ryan Fitzpatrick's got to be smiling all over the place.
Spread it out.
He's never had anything close to – he's had a couple of good receivers before, but he's never combined that with tight ends.
The year he won 10 games with the Jets. He didn't have these kind of targets.
You've said that before. I disagree with you.
Disagree.
Yeah, well, Brandon Marshall was still a stud, caught 100-something balls.
And?
Eric Decker, excellent receiver.
Who's Eric Decker?
He had a good year that year, but he didn't have the depth that the Bucs had.
Not the depth, no. But he had guys on the field, at least.
Any tight ends compared to these guys?
ASJ played a few games.
Enough said.
No tight ends. It's unbelievable what he's got to work with. It's a vague term, best Bucs receiver, because not everybody knows whether to think about just one game. Who do I pick? Best performing? Best season? You know, when you look at best season, you got to look at guys like Carrier and Michael Clayton, who certainly wasn't on the list. But you know I'm saying.
Those are things like Mount Rushmore.
It's fun. But Mike Evans, of course, did very well. I expected him to, but still, 44% of the fans picked somebody else.
But he's fresh in people's minds. That's the key.
Sure, absolutely. All right, Sage, speaking of fresh in people's minds, you write your columns on JoeBucksFan.com Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Don't take a week off. No vacation.
No vacation, no week off. Now, let me make a suggestion, Ira.
That's 150 columns on this forlorn football team.
I want
you to know that.
156.
Whatever, 156.
So, Sage, let me make a suggestion. As the year goes on, you talk to so many people. You're welcome to write all your July columns, your June columns for 2019 during the football season. Talk to this guy, write a column, and just stash it away. So you could take, I want you to do that next year, put your feet up, we can record.
By the way, we haven't talked about this, Steve, but I'm ready to dump that. The Friday picks column didn't work out too well, so we'll work on something else.
Yeah, Lee and I have an idea for you. We're going to run it by you soon.
As long as I don't have to wear a dress, you know, while I'm writing, I'll do it.
Sage.
Boy, I can't pick games, Steve. That's horrible. Absolutely horrible. And plus, you made it with the spread. You know, I'm not sure I can do it without the spread.
Well, that's the big boy stuff. You're the Sage.
Yeah, that was the big boy stuff.
Well, you used to pick for the spread with the Tampa Tribune.
No spread. I used to hit about 60%. But that's just picking winners, Steve. You got to hit 60%.
Except for that one game where your boss told you who to pick.
That's a classic.
The Super Bowl. You know,
I might tell that story again when we take over Bourbon Street.
You should. Hey, now this is a good time to mention FanRetreat.com. That's the Bourbon Street takeover. Dozens have already signed up for the trip, Ira. FanRetreat.com, that's where you get all your event tickets for everything, your flights, your hotels, your rent-a-car, whatever you need. But they're also, they do trips, fan retreats. And just go to FanRetreat.com. You'll see popular retreats. Sign in to the website and then log into the retreat. And you can check off that you're going. Look at all the details, the party the night before. And that way, also, you'll be privy to great discounts on tickets because you can get your flights now. However, and this is for, of course, opening day in New Orleans, the big road trip of the year with Ira and Justin Pawlowski and the Stick Carriers and Lee. But tickets for that game, they're good prices, Ira. You can get into that game for less than $100. opening day on the road, and you know the flights are less than $200. The party the night before is not going to cost you. It's a hell of a trip. There's a great hotel discount as well.
FanDuChief.com. And you can't beat New Orleans as a destination for a couple
days. This is it. Opening day. This is it. Hope is alive. You know, Lee had to take off. We're the optimists here. I feel it. I feel a little
Lee
optimism.
Lee Owens, Reed DeKemper. He's gone, baby.
He's down. But FanDuChief.com. Get there. Sign in. Get it done. So much fun is on the way. So, Ira, look, you wrote a column this week on special teams. You know, overlooked. Your old pal, Rick Goslin, in Dallas, he's been ranking.
He's been doing it for 15 years, ranking these things.
He's been doing those rankings for every team, every year.
And the teams take it very seriously.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do.
I didn't know that.
They absolutely do.
I didn't know that. Well, the Bucks checked in at number 21 last year, which, of course, is not very good. They had their share of breakdowns in addition to the kicking debacle.
There's 22 different categories that he grades teams on.
I had no idea that the teams actually were interested in that. That's interesting. So that's not good. 21. And you think that this is a very under-analyzed, important aspect of the club? And where do you want to see the improvements?
Well, Steve, I think the first thing we need to mention is, you know, mention special teams and the woes. And, you know, the fans, I think there's a tendency to think, well, the field goal kicking's been terrible, and they end it right there. Well, that's only the beginning. It's probably the most graphic example of special teams issues. Steve, you saw my numbers. I think they've missed 29 field goals over the last three seasons. That's an astounding number. 29. 72%. The league average, I think, is over 80. 72%.
Oh, yeah.
So you're costing yourself points, Steve. Now, look, touchdowns are better than field goals. We all know that. But, you know, what did Cutter say after the season? You know, we're in these one-score games. You know, a field goal in the first quarter could change things. You know, make a 38-yarder. That's what Aguayo was supposed to be great at. Make a 38-yarder. I'm not asking him to do 52. He couldn't do that. You know, Nick Folk, no better. Brinzer, thank you, gentlemen. Take a seat. Now you got Catanzaro, however you want to pronounce that guy's name.
Well, that's it.
He's been up and down with the Jets. You know, this ain't Sebastian Janikowski in his prime over here. We don't know what this guy's going to do. I didn't think Patrick Murray was that bad, Steve, but his kickoffs were lousy, and I think that cost him, and that's part of what they grade the kicker on. But beyond that, Steve, right down the line, Brian Anger, you're a good punter, but you know what? You had a mediocre season last year. You had a tremendous 2016, and you deserved all your props. You put 37 kicks inside the 20. That's more than two a game. This year, that number dropped, I think, to 24. That's a plunge. Your net average dropped. Anger returned to, average, where he had been exceptional. So, you know, which Anger is it? I expect him to bounce back. And then you got the kick return teams and the kick coverage teams. Steve, just not very good. Do you ever have the feeling the Bucks are going to return a punt a long way? Ever?
No, and look, the regime, and this is a philosophical thing, Ira. Dirk Cutter and Jason Light have sort of made it clear that they don't value it. They haven't invested the resources. Cutter has been open saying, well, kick return is not that important. You know, there's so many touches.
They can win a game for you, Steven.
I agree with you. I don't know why, if there's something out there, don't you want to be the best at it? So, I don't know. There's still salary cap room. They didn't go there. We'll see. I mean, Humphreys has been
sure-handed.
Punt returner. Not special. I brought this up. I want DeSean Jackson out there opening day to return that first kick
or
two.
That's a hell of an idea.
Make a statement.
Hell
Make
of
a statement.
An idea.
You know he's the best we got.
Balls to the wall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you like that.
There you go. And Steve, one more point. You tell me if you agree with this one. I might be reaching here, but to me, when I look at special teams, I think that might be more coaching than almost any other aspect of the team. I think it's coaching. If you have a real good special teams coach, Steve, year in and year out, you're going to be top 10 in the Gosselin rankings, even if you lose a Josh Robinson or your punter retires. I think coaching is the key to special teams. Tell me where I'm wrong. They don't do the field goal kicking. I understand
I agree with you, but you know what? If you have a great kicker who's nailing touchbacks every time, hey.
Now you look like you got great
You look like
teams.
A genius. Patrick Murray right now, Ira, you know, as much as we didn't think the guy was terrible, does he have a team in the NFL? No. He's unemployed. Because of those touchbacks, Kamara, you know, returned. The Bucks had two touchdowns
the last two games,
taken back for scores. That's terrible. Now, injuries play that down, and they got rid of guys who they thought were better special teams players, Stocker and some others, but it's not good.
And now let's talk about the man who got away, little Kalen Clay. Now, you were stunned when you read that in my column. You got to admit it. You didn't know he had two punt returns for touchdowns already?
No, I did.
In the NFL?
I did. I was just impressed.
They cut him a week into his rookie year.
Hey, this is the Bucs. This is how they operate.
Now, he's bounced around, this guy. He's been on a lot of teams.
Yeah, he was one of those, was with Baltimore. And
he's
then
back in Buffalo now.
I thought he was still in Carolina.
I think he's in Buffalo now, yeah.
Well, whatever. He's still out there, and he still showed that he could play last year with Carolina as a receiver even. But, you know, they have to do better because you can't just keep being the worst. One nugget, Ira, off Gosselin's list, because when you brought it up, I went back to look at it.
And the Rams finished one in his ranking.
And also special teams. You look at the Saints, the Eagles, and the Steelers, three teams that the Bucs are facing, 1, 2, 3, all better special teams units last year.
Very nice, Steve.
And,
nice.
You know, it's just another area where why can't we be great for a change? Why not?
The good teams in the league tend to have good special teams. That's just the way it is. You know, the Rams went 11-5 last year. They were fantastic on special teams. It played a big role.
You know who I'm eager to see if he plays special teams this year and what he looks like on special teams? Noah Spence. Because, you know, the depth guys, those are the guys who have to play special teams.
And he's not going to play that many snaps with all the depth at D-line.
Right. So, and they're not going to run Vinnie Curry down covering kicks. So Noah Spence, speed guy, young guy. Yeah, he's coming off the shoulder. Yeah, he's been injury prone, but he's probably going to be a guy running down, just like Jaquie Smith was, a guy you expected something from, but he blew his knee out in Atlanta on opening day 2 years ago. Noah
it's not
Spence,
going to be Pierre Paul.
No.
You know.
I want to see him play special teams. Are they going to have Ronald Jones play special teams? We know Chris Godwin is a big special teams player. And
saying you use your best guys. That's what you're saying. Use your guys.
I just want to see it. I just want to see what these guys look like. Big reason Keith Tandy's back is his special teams play. So one guy I think could be real valuable, Ira, is Whitehead. I wouldn't be shocked if he could return some kicks, give him a shot, but I don't think that'll happen. But we'll go from there. Anything else on special teams, Ira?
I just think it's an area where it doesn't take that much to make a big jump, Steve. You know, you don't need five new defensive linemen to bump up your special teams. You need good kicking. You need a couple of explosive plays returning the ball. And you need good coverage. By the way, you saw that I think they've only returned one kickoff for a touchdown since 2010. In that span, they've given up four, including two last year in the last two games. Steve, that hurt in the Carolina game. That hurt.
It was a killer.
That was a winnable game. They managed to overcome it against New Orleans only because Jameis hit that pass to Godwin. But that could have been a critical play.
You know, Ira, I know it's all hypothetical, and we deal with a lot of those this time of year. But imagine, suppose the Bucs beat Carolina on Christmas Eve, and then they beat the Saints at home to finish the year. How does that change the whole dynamic of fans and the perception of Jameis and the two wins against the big playoff teams? You think that makes a big difference to where we are right now?
I do, because those teams were desperate. It's not like Carolina had already clinched the seeding and it couldn't affect anything. Same thing with the Saints. They didn't know that going into that final week, Steve. The Saints didn't know that the other team was going to lose.
They needed the game.
So, I think it would have affected it. But you still would have had the Winston suspension, and you still would have had three tough games to open the year. Maybe the Kemper doesn't go around saying they're going to be 0-3 at that point. We love you, Lee. We love you, but stop being a Debbie Downer.
Now, you brought this up last podcast, Ira. You want Jameis? Do you expect to see Jameis Winston at a podium? Your favorite word, podium, answering questions from the media when training camp opens. I don't think you're going to see it. But why do you think he will be up there, facing the music, if you will, and facing all kinds of questions? Why do you think they'll do that?
Whoa, what are you going to do, Steve? Make believe this thing never happened, that he's not suspended? Whoa, what are you, in the Twilight Zone? You know, who's going to introduce him? Rod Serling next week? He's your franchise quarterback. Is he your franchise quarterback? Now, I asked the question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the Bucs feel that way anymore. We'll see. Steve, a month will have passed since the decision. Somebody's got to talk about it. Light's not going to the podium. Cutter doesn't want to talk about it. Can somebody talk about it? besides Quan Alexander. I want Winston at that podium, and I want his reaction to the NFL decision, and I want him to speak directly to the fans. I don't care what he says to Steve Isbitz. I don't care much about Steve Isbitz, but he's got a lot of supporters out there. He should address them and thank them for the support and explain how he let everybody down, including these Buck fans.
You think that'll happen day one of camp? Day two, three, four, doesn't matter?
Within the first 2 days, I expect Jameis Winston at a podium.
All
if
right,
not,
Sage.
They're going to get ripped in the media, and they'll deserve it. They will deserve it. Is Fitzpatrick going to come up there day one? You're gonna put Ryan Fitzpatrick up there? I mean, is that what you're going to do?
Well, you don't have to put a quarterback up there day one. I know what you're saying, but it's a tricky way. How do the Bucs approach this? Now,
you're going to leave it all out to little Dirk Cutter to explain things?
All right, well, let's put it this way, in a way that fans will like to hear from us because they love insider juice, even though we can't talk much about it. Now, Ira, you know that you, me, and Lee, we know things going on behind the scenes that we're not always able to share. That's just the part of our business. Doesn't make us better than anybody else or whatever. But
and it's not that we don't know it's true.
And there are things we know that are true that just aren't going to get out there until you write a book one day or whatever. So you know, Ira, I'm going to say this with confidence. You know that the Buccaneers make firm decisions as to who's going to talk, when they're going to talk, who they're going to try to muzzle, who they're not going to try to muzzle. We've dealt with that since the end of the season.
And they're debriefed for the most part.
And there's briefing, and then there's things they want a heavy control on. You know, there's a good chapter in the book on that. So we already know that there's some strong arming going on as to who's talking. Well, is Dirk Cutter want Jameis Winston out there?
I think it's, you know what? I've been thinking about this, Steve. How about this? It's the first step in his rehab. It's the first step. Step one, get up at the podium. You're supposed to be the leader of this football team. Act like it. Say what you did, say what you didn't do, but explain yourself, and then we move on. If he doesn't show up day one, we're asking for him every day. We're going to have to try to pull him off the field. What are you going to say? He's off limits? Jameis Winston is off limits? How crazy would that sound?
I don't know. I can't predict this team. I'm still stuck on why Doug Martin was here last year. So what do I know?
You can't even get 5 minutes with Jaquizz Rodgers. Never mind Jameis Winston.
Jaquizz is a great guy. If you really sit down and talk to Jaquizz, just a real football mind and a great perspective.
I'm not certain he's going to make the team. I don't
Rodgers?
Think that's written in stone. I don't think it's in stone.
You don't think they'll carry four running backs?
I'm not sure he'll be the fourth guy. You know, you got Lee's favorite, Charles Sims. You got Lee's favorite.
Oh, come on. He's a lock. Quiz is a lock, baby.
All right. Well, he's the number three or number four? What do you have?
I don't care. He's a lock.
Okay.
All right.
Cutter likes him. I'll say that.
Cutter likes him, and he's done everything that's always been asked of him, so why would you get rid of that guy?
Yeah. All right. He did yeoman work in 2016. I'll say that.
And he was solid returning kicks last year. He did what he was supposed to do. This is my favorite thing. I haven't brought it up in months. If you remember correctly, Buccaneers beat the Giants to go 2-1. And Jaquizz gets the game ball from coaches. Game ball for averaging like 4.7 yards a carry against the Giants. And then he gets the whitewash. He gets like two carries the next 8 weeks.
Like Barber after week one, against the Bears.
Yeah, I don't know. Crazy stuff. Crazy coaching staff. Sage?
Well, wait a minute. By then, Doug was coming back, right?
Well, exactly.
Exactly.
I've been running a series, Ira, on JoeBucksFan.com. Top 10 X factors for this Buccaneers season. And we're counting up.
Starting from 10 and working your way down?
Yep. Okay. 10 going down or going up, however you want to look at it. And number 8 on that list, Ira, I put as X factor is contract years.
Now, wait a minute. You skipped 10 and 9. Can you tell me what they are?
Yeah. 10 was Noah Spence. Couldn't rank him higher because he might not get a lot of snaps.
And the fact that he's 10 shows a lot of progress. The fact that he's 10th instead of 2nd means they're not relying on him as much.
Well, I looked at it as how high can I put the guy when he might not get on the field that much?
There you go.
So, but I hear what you're saying.
And what's 9?
Number 9 was Fitzpatrick. Maybe I put him higher, but...
Might
only play 3 games. I can't give the guy that kind of thing. But number 8, I put Ira as contract years. What does that mean? Marpet, Smith, Quan, Peyton Barber. all these guys are in contract years. Three on the offense. DeSean Jackson, in effect, is in a contract year because he knows if he doesn't play well this year, he's just going
to
get released.
Would you extend that to Jameis Winston?
No, because he's got I'll take that off Winston's plate.
Okay.
But
so you're wondering how is that going to affect their play?
I think how that might affect their play. If you could pick a guy who it's going to affect most, the contract year, a guy who, like Jason Light says, maybe needs a carrot in front of him to do his best. Is there a guy in there who you think might take the contract?
I think it might be Smith. Quan's going to play with fury no matter what. We don't worry about the passion, the drive. Sometimes you worry about the technique, and you know, because Quan's missed his fair share of tackles. Steve, I didn't think he was. He didn't play up. He was not a Pro Bowler in my opinion. In 2017, got hurt. I think Quan can play a lot better. Marpet, I'm not too worried about. I would say Donovan Smith. Now, look, why do I say that? Because you got certain grading systems, maybe PFF, that say the guy's terrible. You got coaches that say the guy is on the cusp of being an elite left tackle. We think he's somewhere in the middle. Well, somewhere in the middle may not be good enough. Left tackles, but besides quarterback, it might be been number two position in the National Football League. Might be number two. So do you want, you want a guy that ranks 17th? Are you okay with that? You're gonna give him a big contract? He's got to be now. The word Light uses is consistent. Got to be more consistent. I think you'd agree, Steve. He tends to play better against the menacing pass rushers with the big reputations because he doesn't want to get embarrassed. Then when he plays a guy nobody ever heard of, he's shaky. I want consistent play from Donovan Smith because I'm worried about the right side of the line. I don't think Buck fans can afford to be worried about the left side.
Yeah, I would go with Smith too because, like you said, consistency, that's what you most associate with a contract year kind of guy. Is he going to go after it every play and give you a level of consistency? And that's been the knock on Smith. Big highs. I don't think the lows are as crazy as people say, but he's got some lows.
Or is he going to try to skate a little bit? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is, that's the knock on him is consistency in contract year. You know, maybe whenever he thinks he's going to take a playoff, he can start thinking money. Maybe he'll put a dollar sign on his shoes, or he and Marpet, I think, will really jack each other up on the money front. Like, there's a lot out there.
Steve, whether he's a Buck or plays for another team in 2019, he's in control of how much money he's going to get to a large degree.
Yeah.
He is.
If he stays if he stays healthy and plays well, Bucks fans may not like it, but he's looking at a $15, $16 million a year contract.
And if the Bucks don't want to pay it, somebody else will.
They really will. And then you got a whole new set of issues and draft strategies. And
that's right.
Not what we want. We want all these guys to succeed, but that will cause a problem, but we'll take those good problems.
And he's playing next to Marpet. We'll see how that'll affect him. It'll be his first time playing with Marpet as the guard off his right shoulder.
I hope Allie stays healthy. You know, 2 out of 3 years he hasn't been healthy, and you know, you can go to an injury prone guy just like that nobody wants
to
invest in.
That's why I'm worried about Dotson a little bit, Steve. Same thing.
Yeah. Well, he's been there, but he's just lucky they didn't replace him. And you know, in your podcast last week, when we got personal with Dotson, one of the things you asked him, or somebody asked him, was about the guy looking over your shoulder and how you feel during the draft. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, it's right there for you on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, where the Sage continues to dominate the national charts.
Dominate's a strong word, Steve. It's a strong word.
You dominate.
I'll just say I do well.
Well, you know what? There's only about five on the Google Play top 50 charts, all genres. There's only about 7 or 8 local podcasts there. The rest are all national. So you know what? When the Sage's face is next to the Rush Limbaugh Morning Minute, something's going on good.
Something's going on, baby.
All right, Ira, your podcast presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Go to their websites, edmorescadillactampa.com, edmorescadillacbrandon.com. So pleased to have their offers up at Joe Bucks Fan. You got any plans for the weekend, Sage, as we head on out?
I think beach. We haven't been to the beach yet, Steve.
Summer?
I'm ashamed to admit it. We haven't been to the beach. Heck, I haven't taken a bath in 6 weeks. That's too much information. Steve, have you mentioned the stick carrier takeover at training camp? Don't forget that. I know we talked about the Bourbon Street takeover. We got a date, right? August 4th?
August 4th, of course, training camp takeover. That's when the commission, the stick carriers, and every fan everywhere is invited to treat the practice like we did last year, like a playoff game.
Come and meet the Joe Bucks fan guys. We'll be there.
We'll all be out there. Ira will be out there pressing the flesh.
Commish.
You're going to wear your Sage shirt?
Yes, I will.
That's the plan?
I absolutely will.
And, of course, fans get to roam this year in packs and in waves. And in the indoor facility, they're going to tear the roof off of that.
You guys made a big impression last year. You got a chance to do it again.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. There's no question, Ira. There's so many people planning on it, mostly because it was such a good time last year that if you're going to training camp Saturday, August 4th, this year is going to be your day, the takeover. Just get your free
tickets.
What
about all these new players like Bo Allen or Vinny Curry come out there? All of a sudden, stick carriers, you know, they're like saying to Gerald McCoy, what the heck's going on here, McCoy?
Yep.
You know, that'll be a great moment.
I think they're really going to enjoy it. All those new players, Ronald Jones.
Ryan Jensen. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to mention, Ira, is before we know we were heading out, but I wanted to run this nugget by you. Ronald Jones did an interview that I found was at a charity event in Texas. And he was asked about the team. He answered quite a few questions. Well-spoken kid. I know we didn't get to talk to him too much in the spring. But Jones was asked about leadership and he went right to Mike Evans. He said he was very impressed with Mike Evans, his willingness to help the running backs with their routes. And just Jones gave the impression of, wow, I'm coming to the Bucs. That's where Mike Evans plays. And just that Evans embraces that role. And you think that's a level for Evans this year to be a...
I do. I think there's a certain air of maturity around Mike Evans. Part of it could be family. Family guy. He's got roots now. He loves the area. He takes his job very seriously. Steve, I've called him the best player on the Bucks. Now, having said that, I think there's more to give. I don't want 5 touchdown catches. I want 10. He's proven he can do it. I'm not asking for the moon here.
Sure.
I think he's done it twice in his 4 years. He's reached double digits. There's something about Mike Evans. You sense it when we talk to him in the locker room. You know, he accepts his responsibility as a team spokesman, Steve. You know, he knows he's a leader. I like the way he goes about his business. He's a very serious football player.
All right, Sage, are you going to wear that maybe first day of training camp? Or are you going to wear your Ira Against the World T-shirt?
We know the Sage shirt's coming out August 4th. The first one, I think I might surprise you a little bit.
If I buy you an Ira Against the World, will you wear it?
You know I will, baby. And I had to go along with it.
All right, get out of here, man.